I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please kindly keep your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, as we meditate on this theme, dead yet alive. If I were to ask you this question, do you want to die? What will your answer be? I believe that many of us, if not all of us, would choose to live. We want to live. Few would choose death. Few are ready to die. And we see this all throughout history, how there are many emperors and kings and powerful men who throughout history, they have been trying to find a solution and an answer to death. They will be searching for this elixir of life, this fountain of youth, any solution, any answer that will slow down or stop death. And that is the reason is because they want to live, and they want to live forever. Few would choose death. All would want to live. This then leads us to this very important question of what does this title mean this morning? Dead yet alive. How is it possible for one to be dead and yet at the same time to be alive? In fact, the mystery which the Apostle Paul reveals to us this morning is a very, very strong and important truth. What he's going to reveal to us and to teach us is that in order to live, one must first die. You must die so that you can live. This is what the Apostle Paul is showing us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So while naturally for most of us, if not all of us, we will not want to choose death, yet what Apostle Paul tells us is, unless you have died, you cannot live. Now remember that in this passage, the Apostle Paul has already shown and explained and argued that we are not made alive through the keeping of the works of the law. And that was one of the important themes that he has been showing throughout this passage, this theme of justification by grace through faith alone without the works of the law. And this is the heart of the gospel, what it means to be justified by faith. And in the preceding verses, he has already explained and shown how if you try to keep the works of the law, if you try to seek for salvation, if you try to find justification through the keeping of the works of the law, you will only die. It will lead to death. Because through the keeping of the works of the law, you would find that you will fail. We cannot. It is impossible for us to fulfill the demands and the requirements of the law completely and perfectly. And if we cannot be alive, we cannot live and cannot have life through the keeping of the works of the law, how then can we live? Apostle Paul reveals to us, in order to live, you must first die. And this is what he means here in the first statement that he states here in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. We must first die. I am crucified with Christ. Now this phrase, I am crucified with Christ, is a wonderful phrase. This phrase, I am crucified with Christ, is used in the gospel. In the three gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John. Hey, Luke did not record this or did not make reference to this phrase being used. But in Matthew, Mark, and John, the three gospels use this same phrase to describe the thieves on the cross who were crucified together with Christ. Now, when it was used with regard and reference to the thieves, it has a sense of how they were crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one thief on the left and one thief on the right of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Apostle Paul used this expression here, when he said that we are crucified with Christ, we are not just one who is crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that we are crucified and identified together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for the thieves on the cross, we know that though both of them were crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ, one of them did not find salvation. Because one of them looked at this cross with doubt. One of them questioned the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are truly the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us also? That was how one thief saw the cross. But yet, for the other thief who was with the Lord Jesus Christ, he found salvation. He said that, remember me. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Which kind of response will you have to the cross? Because if you know about the gospel and you have heard about the life and the stories of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have witnessed the testimony concerning the cross, you know about the gospel, you know about the cross, but that does not mean that you have been crucified with Christ. To be crucified with Christ means that you must be identified with Christ. That when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, though you were not physically there, you died together with Him. His death is now your death. And what this means would be that we are represented in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that through Christ's death, we will now enjoy all that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes. We are crucified with Christ. We are identified with Him. And in this sense, we are actually closer, nearer the Lord Jesus Christ than even the thieves who were on the cross. Because one of them rejected the cross. One of them did find salvation. But for us, if we are crucified with Christ, we are identified in His death, we are now even closer and nearer the cross and Christ than even the thieves were. Now, how we sometimes express the truth of the gospel is we speak of how Christ has died for us. But do you fully understand and do you know what it really means when we speak of how Christ has died for us? It is not something that is external. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, it was not something that He has done and accomplished that is just merely outward or external or that is far away from us. It is not something that is accomplished that is apart from us or removed from us. But when we speak of how when the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us, what we understand it to mean and what it means to us must be that now we have died together in Him. We are identified in His death. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He bore the wrath of God. He bore the justice of God. He took the penalty of our sins upon Him. Yea, He even took all our sins upon Him. And He went to the cross. And on the cross, the justice, the wrath of God is now poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. This was what was accomplished on the cross. And when the Apostle Paul says now that I am crucified with Christ, what this means is that the justice of God, the wrath of God, has also been poured out upon us through Christ. The demands and the requirements of the law, which is justice, has all been met through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what is demanded of us because we are all sinners. And because of our sins, we deserve condemnation. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve the justice of God. And this justice has to be met. The penalty of sin has to be paid. And we thank the Lord because this penalty has been paid in full through the Lord Jesus Christ. The penalty that we deserve, the condemnation that we deserve, the justice that we deserve has all been paid in full through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it means when the Apostle Paul now says that he's dead to the law. This was what we considered in verse 19. If you remember, last week we saw how in verse 19, Apostle Paul says, I through the law am dead to the law. If you try to keep the law in order to save yourself, you will die. You will be condemned. You will fail because we cannot. You cannot use the works of the law to save yourself. But what Apostle Paul now is saying is also that he is dead to the law in that through the cross of Christ. He is dead to the law where he's freed from now the demands of the law because God did not just merely ignore our sins, but he has met out justice. He has fulfilled all the demands of the law in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in legal terms, since we are talking about the law here, even in the law of the land, there is this very important law known as double jeopardy. Double jeopardy means that when a person commits a crime and commits an offense, when he is punished for this crime and offense, he cannot be punished for this crime and offense a second time. So if he is already now pronounced as guilty, and if the penalty has been paid for this crime and this offense, he cannot be punished for the same crime and the same offense a second time. This is the law of double jeopardy. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying over here. If I am crucified with Christ, in Christ, what this means is that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was crucified, he has took already all the requirements, the demands of the law, and he was punished for it. He bore the wrath of God. He met the justice of God. And because the justice of God, the demands of the law have all been met and satisfied and fulfilled in Christ, we cannot be punished for the same sin, for the same offense, for the same guilt a second time. I am crucified with Christ. Hence now, I am free. I'm safe. I don't have to fear anymore. Now, what does this mean for us as Christians? Now, sometimes even as Christians, how the devil may tempt us, how the devil may frighten us, is he will try to play back and replay all our past sins. No, to bring out, bring back to our memory, show us what a wicked sinner we are, how guilty we are. Just play back in our minds again how 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, all these wicked things that we have done, the wicked things that we have said with our lips, the words that we have spoken, the wicked thoughts, the wicked acts, how terrible, how sinful, how guilty we are. And sometimes when all these things are brought to the front, we can only shrink in fear because we see how miserable a sinner and how guilty we are. But when we understand this truth of how I am crucified with Christ, what this means is that we can now say, you can bring out all my sin. You can bring out all my guilt. You can replay it over and over again. You can describe it to the minutest detail. You can show the world how shameful it is. You can bring it all out. But I am not afraid because I am crucified with Christ. And in Christ, all my sins, my sin, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is now nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I am crucified with Christ. All my sin has been paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful this is. But is it just merely something in the past? I am crucified with Christ. My sins in the past have been paid. But how about the sins that I may have committed now? How about even after I profess to be a Christian, the sins that I have committed, are they also dealt with? Now, the very interesting thing about this phrase, I am crucified with Christ, is that the Apostle Paul used what is known as the perfect tense over here. Okay? Now, the King James translators have translated this way, I am crucified with Christ. And I believe the reason why they wanted to translate it this way is to bring out the sense of the perfect tense. Now, usually how we would express perfect tense in English is, I have done this or I have done that, something like that. Okay? In this case, is I have been crucified with Christ. That's the perfect tense. But the idea of the perfect tense describes something that was done in the past. Something that happened in the past, but the effects of it continues on and remains until the present. Which is why the King James translators translated it this way, I am crucified with Christ. I still am crucified with Christ. It's not that I'm constantly being crucified with Christ as if it's a repeated thing, because Christ was not crucified over and over again. His death was once for all. But what he means here, what the Apostle Paul meant over here is that the effects of the cross, when Christ died on the cross, once for all, the effects of it, the blessings of it, the benefits of it, the power of it, it continues on even until the present. And this is what we enjoy even today. What Christ has accomplished on the cross in the past, once for all, it remains ever effective. It remains ever powerful. And I continue to enjoy the fullness of the truth that I am crucified with Him. This means that when Christ represented me on the cross, He remains as my representative. When I am identified with Christ on the cross, I will always be identified with Him. There will never come a point where the Lord Jesus Christ says, I no longer will represent you, that my death is not for you. And this means that all our sins have been covered in this death. How wonderful this is. I am crucified with Christ. Now, when the Apostle Paul says here, I am crucified with Christ, of course, this does not mean there is a license to sin. When our sins, past, present, and future, has been covered in the cross, it does not mean that it's a license to sin. Because we will lose this love for sin. There is now a hatred for sin. Yes, sometimes we may struggle and wrestle with sin, but we will no longer have the same love because we are no longer bound to sin. We are freed from sin. We are dead to sin. We are dead to the law. We are dead to ourselves. We are dead to our own good works. We are dead to our own pride. We are dead to sin. I am crucified with Christ. You know, this word, to be crucified with Christ, is a very rare word. As mentioned, it was used in the Gospels to describe the thieves who were crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ. But on one other occasion, the Apostle Paul also used this phrase to describe how we are crucified with Christ. And he used it in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. You don't have to turn to there, but what he says in Romans 6, verse 6 is that our old man is crucified with Christ. And this is why it is important to understand, to be crucified with Christ means, yes, our sins past, present, and future has been now dealt with in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It has been paid in full. The justice has been paid in full. It has been met. There is now no longer any guilt that we have to bear. But there's no desire for sin in the same way we used to have in the past anymore. We will no longer have this love for sin because the old man is also crucified with Christ. In the crucifixion, when we are crucified with Christ, it means that the old man has also died together with Christ. When now Apostle Paul looks at this world, his whole view of this world has changed. When he looks at himself, his view of self has changed. In the past, what were those things that used to rule over him? What were his passions? What were his desires? What were his motivations? What were his purposes? All these things that used to rule over him, those things that were chiefest to him, most important to him, these things have all died together in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has now died to himself. This means that my passion, my zeal, my will, my motive, my desires are no longer of my own because I am crucified with Christ. I can no longer take pride. I can no longer take glory, even in the works of the law. You remember for the Apostle Paul in the past, that was what he used to take pride in, the fulfilling of all the demands of the law, because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was one who was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was one who studied the law, sat under the feet of Gamaliel. And these were the things he used to take pride in. But now he is crucified with Christ, or he is now dead to all these things. And so it must also be for us that when we say we are crucified with Christ, it means we are represented by the Lord Jesus Christ in his death on the cross. It means that he has taken our place. But it also must mean that we have died to ourselves. We have died to our pride. We have died to our self-will. We have died to our pursuits, our sinful, selfish desires. We have died to all these things. I am crucified with Christ. And do you notice over here that one word that the Apostle Paul kept using and kept repeating is the first person personal pronoun. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He kept using this word I over and over again. I believe when the Apostle Paul used this personal pronoun I, he definitely was not using it with any sense of pride in it. Because he's not saying here that these are the things that I have done. These are the things that I have accomplished. But he's now saying that I am crucified with Christ. This is what Christ has done. And this is the blessing that now has been bestowed upon me. But what this tells us is that this is a very personal faith. I am crucified with Christ. This is a personal walk. This is a personal desire. This is a truth that must first be personally appropriated, personally received, personally believed in. I am crucified with Christ. You cannot be saved just because you are part of a community. For the Jews, especially when the Apostle Paul was dealing with the truth of the gospel here, this is very important. Just because you are amongst the community of the Jews, you are born a Jew, you cannot be saved. Being a Jew does not save you, will not save you. Just because you are part of the community of the church, in application to us today, does not mean that you will automatically be saved. Sitting amongst Christians, fellowshipping with Christians, being in a church will not save you, cannot save you. Even if you are born in a Christian family, even if you are born in a Christian home, even if the people that you interact with, day in, day out, they are all Christians. Even with all these Christian influences, even if you are in a Christian country, you know, there are some countries today that are still, by name, Christian countries. You know, if you go to some of these so-called Christian countries and you try to preach the gospel to them, it's actually a harder work, a harder ministry. And the reason is because many of them think that because they are born in a Christian country, they are already Christians. But being in a Christian country will not save you. Just because you are born in a Christian home, you fellowship with Christian people, you are in a Christian country, doesn't make you a Christian. You must be one who has personally received this faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Is this something that you have confronted personally? Have you come face to face with this truth? I am crucified with Christ. Have you died? Have you died to yourself? Have you died to your own works? Have you died to your pride? Have you died to your vainglory? And have you looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone without the works of the law? Have you rested your soul completely in Christ and Christ alone? Can you now say, I am crucified with Christ? I with Christ. Because Apostle Paul says, unless you die, you cannot live. But if you are crucified with Christ, if you have died in Christ, then now you can live. And this is what it means to be dead yet alive. I am crucified with Christ because I've died to myself. I've died to the demands of the law. I'm freed from the demands of the law. Now I live. I'm alive. And that's the second truth we want to see. Apostle Paul then goes on immediately to say, nevertheless, I live. Here it means, but I live. I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive. I live. And I continue to live. I am living. Now here it definitely would point immediately to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, we know that he did not remain dead. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He is resurrected and alive forevermore. But do you know that as Christians, we have also participated in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only are we crucified in Christ, we also have been risen together with Christ. Yes, I'm dead to the works of the law. Yes, I'm dead to sin. See, I'm no longer dead in sin, but I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to myself. I'm crucified in Christ, with Christ, but now I'm also alive. I'm risen also together with Christ. That's why Apostle Paul makes it very clear. He says, nevertheless, I live. But it is not I, right? It's not my power that gives me this life. It is not of me. This life that I have is not of myself, but it is Christ that liveth in me. It is the risen Christ who now lives in me. And this means that for the believer, for the Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, of which we are a partaker of, right? We are a partaker of his resurrection. It is now the source of our life. It is the controlling power of our life. It is the sustenance of our life. It is the strength of our life. The purpose of our life. The motivation of our life. I am alive, but it's not I. It is Christ who lives in me. I remember last week we sang a wonderful hymn, Living for Jesus. And that is very true. And that is something that the Apostle Paul will emphasize later on, how we must continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But even as we strive to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, let us never forget how we can live for the Lord Jesus Christ is because the Lord Jesus Christ lives in us first. The reason Christ lives in us. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now this shows us that if we have been crucified together with Christ, and now we are alive, we participate and we partake even of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are even identified in his resurrection, then it means that our whole life, our whole purpose, our whole desire, our whole will, our whole self can no longer be of our own. It can no longer be of our flesh. We now have a new master. We now have a new Lord. We are his servants. Christ liveth in me. And the life of the Lord Jesus Christ now is that which is the source of our living. It is controlled by his will. It is led by his will. Christ liveth in me. And of course, this would mean that we want to shine forth and show forth the Lord Jesus Christ who lives and abides in me. Is this a truth that you also understand and appreciate? We are alive in Christ. But because we are alive in Christ, we must continue living in Christ. And that's what Apostle Paul immediately goes on to say. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he immediately explains what he means when Christ liveth in me. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh. Now, in the flesh means he's still in the physical body. Okay, the flesh over here describes how he's in this physical flesh. The life that I now live in this physical body, he's not just merely talking about eternal life. Lest we be confused, right? Lest we think that he's talking about eternal life. No, he's not just merely talking about eternal life. But even the resurrected life is enjoyed now. The life which I now live in the flesh, even in the present. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This present life, even in this mortal body, you must continue living for Christ, in Christ. What Apostle Paul is saying here is that he did not just merely understand in an external, removed, academic way the truth of the cross and the truth of the resurrection of Christ. What he's saying here is that when he thinks of the cross, he is identified even in the death of Christ. And even when he thinks of the resurrection of Christ, he is even identified in his resurrection. And he sees himself as a participant in both the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, where he sees himself as the old man, his whole self, his old self, all of it, even with his sin, even with his wickedness, has all died. But in Christ, he now lives, not just having eternal life in the future, but even in the flesh, in the present, he is now alive, and he lives in Christ for the Lord Jesus Christ, where every thought, every will is motivated by Christ. You look at the ministry, the missionary journeys of the Lord Jesus, of the Apostle Paul. You look at his zeal. You look at his labor. You look at the gospel which he preached. What was it that brought about such a transformation and a change? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in him. It is his source of motivation. It is the source of his life. It is the source of his passion. And if you are alive in Christ, it is not a license to sin, because you will not want to fall back to the same old way before you were in Christ. We now live with a new purpose, a new desire. Now, there's this story told of this man named Augustine that illustrates this truth very well. Now, we do not know whether this story told of Augustine is factual or not, whether it's just a story, a fictional story. But regardless, it's a very good illustration of what this means to be crucified with Christ, to be dead to self, and then now we live. Yet not I, it's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in us. Now the story goes something like this, that Augustine in the past, before his conversion, he used to live in sin, very base and wicked sins. He used to be a playboy, a womanizer. But after his conversion, he forsook such ways. But then one day, as he was walking down the street, one of his old lovers, one of his old mistress, saw him. And then recognizing him, began to call out to him. Says, "Augustine, Augustine." He turned around and he saw her, recognizing her, realizing that she was one of those he used to of his old life, where he, in his sinful state, he used to sin together with her. And recognizing her, he started to turn around and walk away very quickly. But she, unwilling to give up, also began to speed up and chase after him, calling out to him again, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I, it is I." And Augustine, recognizing her voice and seeing her catching up to him, began to walk even faster, trying to escape from her. And she ran even faster, resolved to catch up with him. And finally, when she caught up with him, she held him by the arm and said, and turned him around and said, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I." Immediately then, Augustine, turning around, said to her, "But it is not I. The old Augustine is dead, and I am a new creature in Christ Jesus." This is what it means. Yes, in the outward body, in the flesh, we still look the same. Before our conversion, before our salvation, and after our salvation, we still look the same. We are still in the flesh. We still face, perhaps, same temptations, similar temptations. We are still exposed to the realities of this world. We are still in the same environment. We are still in the same world. Everything outside us, the external, seems the same. In the flesh, it still seems the same. But yet we know that when we are crucified with Christ and now we are alive with Christ, everything is different. Our view of this life is different. Our view of ourselves is different. We are different because now we are a new creature in Christ. Sin no longer has the same power over us. Sin is no longer our desire, it is no longer our passion, our ambition, our pride. These are no longer our pursuits. We are no longer the same. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But you know, I understand that sometimes living even this new Christian life may be difficult, may be trying. But Apostle Paul goes on to say, not only is he dead, we must first die. Not only are we alive and we must be living, so we are alive in Christ and we continue to live in Christ. He now also says that we live with a new principle. We live with a new basis. We live with a new foundation. We live with a new hope. We live with a new assurance. We live by a new principle. That's what it means in the last part. He says, now I live. The life which I now live in the flesh, though I'm still in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live now by faith. That's what he means. That's why the theme of our church this year is the just shall live by faith. And then the theme for our church camp is similar, the just shall live by his faith. We continue to live and we live by faith. This is the new principle with which we live by. And again, the emphasis is that this is a daily living. See, Apostle Paul did not merely say, I lived past. I'm alive past. But he says, I live, and it's the present, meaning I continue to live. I continue to live by the faith of the Son of God. I continue to live daily, placing my faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, the truth of the cross, the reality of the cross, the identification with the cross is something that we must take hold of daily. The devil will not cease to cast doubts on our minds. Is it not daily we face many a temptation and many a struggle? Is it not daily that we may face doubts? And this is why this is a faith that we exercise daily. Daily we look to the cross. I am crucified with Christ. There's not a single day, there's not a single moment where we do not live in this reality that I am crucified with Christ and I'm alive with Christ. The Christian faith, it must be something that is daily. It's something that is moment by moment. Every moment, I'm exercising my faith. I'm placing my faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's by faith, with this faith, we continue running this race. This is the faith that will be our foundation. This is the faith that will be the solid rock beneath our feet. This will be the faith that will be the anchor for our soul. The faith in the Son of God. The faith in the Son of God who loves me and who gave himself for me. Now, how wonderful it is. Do you realize that this is a great contrast from trying to earn salvation by the works of the law? See, if you still live in the old way, or the wrong way, is not the old way, but the way of the Judaizers. Okay, this was what the Judaizers taught. That you have to keep the works of the law, fulfill the works of the law, to be saved. If you try to live in that way, you are walking on sinking sand. You are walking on slippery slope. There's no foundation beneath your feet, beneath your ground, because at every moment, you will doubt, you will fear. Could this be the very moment where I fail? You strive, you try to fulfill the demands of the law. And then you keep all these things from your youth up. And all the Lord Jesus Christ has to do is just to say, since you have kept all these things from your youth up, then go and sell all that you have, give to the poor and follow me. And then we will be put to shame. Like the rich young ruler. He could not because he had great wealth, great possessions. He was unwilling to surrender all and to just follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord Jesus Christ there did was to expose his sin. He may have kept all these things from his youth up, but the Lord Jesus Christ just merely have to expose his sin, his motive. to sell all that you have and give to the poor. If you are really have obeyed the commandment in love, sell all you have, give to the poor. He could not. If you just fail in one, then all your foundation collapses. But if you live by faith in the Son of God, you always look to the cross. You always cling to the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I am crucified with Christ. I'm identified in his death. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died for me. Oh, if the devil again tries to remind me and brings to my mind again and casts doubt of my salvation, I will say, I am crucified with Christ. And I will also say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Such that even when we fail, when we struggle, when we wrestle against the flesh, we are constantly reminded, I am crucified with Christ. I place my faith in the Son of God. This is now the new principle, the new foundation, the anchor for our soul with which we live by. And you know, Apostle Paul deliberately highlighted here the various attributes of the Son of God. Now we know that there are many attributes that we can bring out, right? We can describe concerning the Son of God. You can describe how he's the head of the church. You can describe how he's the creator. And all these things are true because we know Apostle Paul describes this in the book of Colossians, for example. But over here, the Apostle Paul deliberately highlighted how is the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Now, do you see again that what Apostle Paul emphasizes here is how the Lord Jesus Christ has paid it all? He has finished it. He has fulfilled it all. He has completed the work. He gave himself for me. Our salvation was never established by our own, on our own, by ourselves. It's never even any part of it that is contributed by us. He loved me. He gave himself for me. And it is enough. It is finished. It is complete. And this truth of Christ's love must always be our security, our assurance, our foundation. Place your faith in Christ who loves you. This was what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Do you think that tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, can these things separate you from the love of Christ? Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 36 of Romans chapter 8, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No, he says, in all these things, meaning even in the midst of tribulation and distresses and persecutions and famine or naked and peril or sword, even in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Just to make sure he's as comprehensive as he can be, to include everything in this universe, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. Is this wonderful salvation that you have now received? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You are dead, yet you are alive. In order to live, you must first die. But because you have died with Christ, and if you have died with Christ, now you can live together with him. Now, in concluding this message, Apostle Paul then says in verse 21, because of this wonderful truth that I am crucified with Christ, and now I live, and I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can divide me. Nothing can stand between me and the love of Christ. Because of this wonderful truth now, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, the word frustrate here means to make void, to make empty, to nullify it, to make it of none effect. He does not make the grace of God of no effect. The grace of God is freely given to us. It's all of grace, grace alone, abounding grace. And He cannot make void, He cannot make empty the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now there's only two options, he says here. Either you try to fulfill the law again to earn your righteousness. There's only this first option. You try to fulfill all the demands of the law, meet the standards of God according to the law to earn your righteousness. Or now you look to the Lord Jesus Christ who has fulfilled all the demands of the law and fulfilled all the requirements of the law and paid the penalty of your sin on the cross, satisfying the justice and the wrath of God. That's the other option. Either you look to the Lord Jesus Christ or you continue to look to yourself. If you continue to look to yourself, then he says here, then you have made Christ's death vain. If righteousness come by the law, if for argument's sake, you can be saved by the righteousness of the law, then Christ has died in vain. Why must Christ die if righteousness can come by the law? But precisely because righteousness cannot come by the law, the first option is an invalid option because you can never accomplish it, you can never fulfill it, you can never earn righteousness by the law. And because you cannot earn righteousness by the law, you can only turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ did not die in vain. Don't make Christ's death vain. Do not frustrate the grace of God. No, you frustrate the grace of God. You are making void. Of course, you cannot actually make it void. Right? But you are attempting to make it void. If you continue to try to find some good works, try to find some way in order to meet the demands of the law. If you try to live by yourself, for yourself, unto yourself, you make the grace of God void. And you are attempting to make the death of Christ vain. If you try to live by yourself, for yourself, unto yourself. But Christ has not died in vain. We know that. Because Christ has died for you and for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So have you died? Have you died to yourself? Have you given up trying to find a way of salvation that is of your own? Trying to do all these good works? Trying to attend church, trying to be earnest in prayer, thinking that it's your prayer that will save you? Have you died to all these things? Have you died to self in Christ? I am crucified with Christ. And in dying with Christ, it also means that have you died to your own will? Have you died to your old self? That now you are also alive in Christ. You are alive with Christ where Christ liveth in you. He's the source of your life. He's the will of your life. He's the purpose of your life. He's the motivation of your life. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is now the new confidence that I have. This is now the new hope that I have. I place my faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am a debtor to Christ. I am a debtor to the cross. But I will keep clinging on to this cross and to live for Christ in Christ. Let this be our great theme. Elder Goh, during the memory verse, says that this may be the life verse for some of us. In fact, it should be the life verse for all of us. Life verse not necessarily mean that, when people ask you what's your life verse, you say Galatians 2.20. I'm not making it compulsory that all of you must say it's Galatians 2.20. But it's a life verse in that it's only in Christ that we live. It's because we have died together with Christ, died together with Him on the cross, identified with Him. He represents us. That now we are alive together also in Him. Therefore, is this not the life verse for all of us? Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, oh, how so wonderful to know that in the cross, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and even in His death, we have died together with Him, where all our sins, all our guilt, all our shame, even all our self, our pride, have died. It is all now nailed to the cross. And we also thank Thee that as the Lord Jesus Christ did not remain dead, for He rose again on the third day. So we are also now partakers of this resurrected life, where we are alive in Christ. We are alive with a new hope. We are alive with a new purpose. We are alive with a new passion, for Christ liveth in us. He is that which sustains us. It is Christ who moves us. It is Christ who strengthens us. He is the source of our whole being, our whole life. Oh, how it is because we have died that we are alive. We thank Thee for this wonderful truth of the gospel, that we are justified by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and not of any good work of our own. For how so miserable we would have been, we have to try to look to our own good works for assurance or for comfort. How so discouraging, how so miserable it is. For we see that we are only but guilty, miserable sinners. But when we look to Christ and we place our faith in Him, we place our faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Oh, how so happy we are. We thank Thee for this new life that we have in Christ. Help us then to see this great debt that we owe. Help us to truly understand that this life that we live, we can no longer live to ourselves. But in every desire, in every motive, in every decision, to live for Christ and Christ alone. For without Christ, we are nothing. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have fullness of life. How we thank Thee for this precious truth. Help us not to make void the grace of God, to frustrate the grace of God, but to live in the righteousness of Christ. Help us, O Lord, we pray, for we want to commit all these things into Thy hands, praying in Jesus' name. Amen.